This is DJ Frederick. We'll be proceeding with music for libraries, lava lamps, and that colorful test pattern in your mind on At the Tone. Here on the Global Voice.
At the Tone, 1 hour, 0 minutes, Coordinated Universal Time.
Thank you.
The Whitefield Brothers with Safari Strut, and we started this edition of At the Tone off with David Axelrod from a not very well-known 45, 7-inch RPM single that was released on the Decca label. We heard The Leading Citizen, Part 1. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At the Tone.
Here's a program from our archives.
We humans are not the only ones who keep herds of domesticated animals. Ants have been practicing animal husbandry for millennia. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet. Right now, we're listening to highly amplified sounds of a colony of ants. Edward Wilson is Baird Professor of Science and Curator of Entomology at Harvard University.
Some kinds of ants engage in what can fairly be called animal husbandry. That is to say, they keep domestic animals in the form of aphids or similar creatures called mealybugs or scale insects on the roots of plants growing in their nest or on plants growing outside near the nest. And they assiduously attend these cattle of theirs, guarding them from insects that would otherwise capture them and eat them, and milking them for the sugary excrement that these particular kinds of insects produce. Aphids, for example, suck up plant sap. They process it in their gut. They take some of the nutrients for themselves, and they pass out other nutrients in the forms of sugar and amino acids, which comes out at the end of their abdomens in the form of droplets of sweet liquid called honeydew. The ants then keep these insects and harvest the honeydew as a major source of their food. They also carry these insects around from one place to the other, building up the population of their cattle. And some of the most dominant, aggressive, and successful ants in the world are these cattle tenders, these experts in animal husbandry.
This archival program is part of our 30th anniversary celebration. If you want to hear more, check out our podcast.
This is Carol Fialka, and you are listening to The Global Voice.
Exploring science in the sea. For some, getting away from it all might mean a trip to the South Pacific, some delightful tropical island far from the cares of everyday life. But really getting away from it all means going to a point in the South Pacific where there are no islands within almost 1,700 miles. It's the point on the globe that's farthest from any land, known as Point Nemo. It was first calculated in 1992 with the help of computers and GPS satellites. It's precisely 1,670 miles from three islands: Ducie Island, a member of the remote Pitcairn Islands; Motu Nui, a member of the Easter Island chain off the coast of South America; and Mar Island off the coast of Antarctica. The spot was named after Captain Nemo from Jules Verne's classic novel 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Nemo sought solitude in the ocean depths aboard his submarine, the Nautilus. Not much lives at Point Nemo. Ocean currents prevent nutrients from coming to the surface, so there's little to sustain life, and not many ships cross the region either. That's just as well, because the region is a dumping ground for dead spacecraft. To keep them from possibly hitting inhabited regions, space agencies aim them toward the area around Point Nemo. About 260 craft have been targeted there in the last 45 years. Most of a spacecraft burns up as it enters the atmosphere, but some big pieces can survive and hit the ocean. When they sink to the bottom, they may form habitats for bottom-dwelling life out in the middle of nowhere. Science in the Sea is available as a weekly podcast at scienceinthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
And if you're new to listening to At the Tone, I'm DJ Frederick, and I've been around on the Global Voice for a few years, broadcasting a program called Radio Thrift Shop. But this is At the Tone, and it's an hour of music for folks who love rummaging through dusty crates of old records and VHS tapes, showcasing music for test cards, library music, ambient soundscapes, easy tempo jazz, psychedelic tinged pop, and more. So light up the lava lamp. Come on, a sonic adventure.
Thank you.
This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At the Tone on the Global Voice at theglobalvoice.info.
This is Bird Note. With steady, resounding whacks of its chisel-like bill, a woodpecker excavates a nesting cavity in a tree. A pair of woodpeckers will use the hole for one nesting season, carving out a new one the following spring. But unlike most birds, whose nests are good for just one season, the woodpecker's cavity will have a long and useful career. Woodpeckers, master carpenters of the bird world, are called keystone species for their crucial role in creating habitat suited to other woodland wildlife. Abandoned woodpecker nest holes become nests or roosts for small owls, like this northern saw-whet owl, or cavity-nesting wood ducks. Swifts, bluebirds, swallows, wrens, and other birds, as well as many mammals, make use of these holes. The snags can become multi-level condominiums for a whole host of wildlife. A venerable dead tree, broken off at the top and perforated with multiple cavities, may actually be one of the most valuable trees in the forest. It's satisfying to know that some simple choices can improve habitat for birds. For example, if you have to cut down a tree, consider leaving part of it as a snag. You'll be helping the woodpeckers and all the species that depend on them for homes. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
WWV, all the time, all the time. Same time, same station, every time. WWV. 1, 2, 3, 4. Every second counts at WWV. For a good time, call 555-4-WWV. WWV, for the time of your life. We'll be back with the time on WWV in just a minute. But first, here's another minute.
All right, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to At the Tone. I'm going to do something a little bit different right now that I typically haven't done on this show. I'm going to play most of an entire album. We're going to hear the album Soul Makossa, which was released by the band Afreek on Mainstream Records in 1973. And Afreek spelled A-F-R-I-Q-U-E. So here it is from 1973, Mainstream Records, Soul Makossa.
Makossa. Kosa. Mama ku, mama sa, 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 mama mama ku sa. Musa.
Mosama, Mosama, Sabakosa, right home.
Madre, madre. Thank you. Bye.
Great album by the band Afrique. Soul Makossa, we heard in order the tracks Soul Makossa, Kissing My Love, Sleepwalk, Let Me Do My Thing, Slow Motion, Hot Mud, House of the Rising Funk, Dueling Guitars, and Hot Doggin'. All right, this is DJ Frederick. I'm going to wrap it up. I'll be back next week here on the Global Voice with more of At the Tone. Thanks for listening and wishing you many blessings.